No man, for any considerable period, can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude, without finally getting bewildered as to which may be the true. Nathaniel Hawthorne, The Scarlet Letter. I did it for me. I liked it. I was good at it. And I was, really. I was alive. Walter White, a.k.a. Heisenberg, Breaking Bad. Author's note. My mother, who passed away in 2015 and who was a voracious reader, had a strange quirk when it came to books. She began every book by reading the last page first, then returning to the beginning. Every novel, for her, began at the end. I tell this brief story because, for this book, I have decided to place the beginning, traditionally the preface, in which the author explains how the book was made, at the end. In the notes on reporting, I explain how I reported and wrote the pages you are about to hear, detailing the millions of words and research, photos and videos, thousands of hours of reporting that went into the creation of this book, and in doing so, I give away how the story ends. I hope hearing about the reportage won't ruin this epic tale for you, but it seems unnecessary to explain how a structure was built before you've had a chance to wander through its halls. In the book, the conversations between the Silk Road leader and employees of the site are verbatim chats. Peculiarities in the text have been left as is to preserve the authenticity of the conversations. With that, I promise all will be revealed at the end. It always is. Part 1. Chapter 1. The Pink Pill. Pink. A tiny pink pill with an etching of a squirrel on either side. Jared Daryagian couldn't take his eyes off it. He stood in a windowless mailroom, the Department of Homeland Security badge hanging from his neck, illuminated by pulsing halogen lights above. Every 30 seconds, the sound of airplanes rumbled through the air outside. Jared looked like an adolescent with his oversized clothes, buzz cut, and guileless hazel eyes. "We've started to get a couple of them a week," his colleague Mike, a burly Customs and Border Protection officer, said, as he handed Jared the envelope that the pill had arrived in. The envelope was white and square, with a single perforated stamp affixed to the top right corner. "Hier öffnen," read the inside flap. Below those two words was the English translation, "Open here." The recipient's name, typed in black, read, "David." The package was on its way to a house on West Newport Avenue in Chicago. It was exactly what Jared had been waiting for since June. The plane carrying the envelope, KLM Flight 611, had landed at Chicago O'Hare International Airport a few hours earlier, after a 4,000-mile journey from the Netherlands. As weary passengers stood up and stretched their arms and legs, baggage handlers 20 feet below them unloaded cargo from the belly of the Boeing 747. Suitcases of all shapes and sizes were ushered in one direction. 40 or so blue buckets filled with international mail were sent in another. Those blue tubs, nicknamed scrubs by airport employees, were driven across the tarmac to a prodigious mail storage and sorting facility 15 minutes away. Their contents, letters to loved ones, business documents, and that white square envelope containing the peculiar pink pill would pass through that building, past customs, and into the vast logistical arteries of the United States Postal Service. If everything went according to plan, as it did most of the time, that small envelope of drugs, and many like it, would just slip by unnoticed. But not today. Not on October 5th, 2011. By late afternoon, Mike Weinenthaler, a Customs and Border Protection officer, had begun his daily ritual of clocking in for work, pouring an atrocious cup of coffee, and popping open the blue scrubs to look for anything out of the ordinary,